It's time to get informed and inspired. This is Saturday Morning Live, sponsored by Asset Advisors LLC, Linden Sheet Metal, and TheFourthCorner.com. KGMI and the Cascade Radio Group receive financial compensation to present this program in its entirety. Opinions and information expressed are those of the host and or sponsors and do not necessarily reflect those of KGMI or the Cascade Radio Group.
Oh yeah, on a Saturday morning, getting after it. Good morning, Whatcom County. Dan Johnson here from the Hook Dot News, filling in for Patty Brooks. It appears that Patty Brooks has had a grandchild blessed into her family, and she couldn't make it in here today. So I'm going to go ahead and fill in through a program together. I am here up on the hill at U Street in Bellingham. We are doing it a little bit differently than the last time I was up here with the masking and the Rona and everything else. We're in separate rooms. So I got Randy a couple doors away, and he's going to be sending me text messages if you're calling in. By the way, if you do want to call in today and tell me that I'm all wet or agree with what I'm talking about, or you just want to get it out there on a Saturday morning, give us a call here at 360-676-KGMI or 360-676-5464. Got a couple different things I want to cover today. Oh, let's see. We've got County Executive Sat Paul Sidhu in a State of the County address informed the good folks of Whatcom County at a council meeting that the latest economic stimulus package, something we all are more familiar with as the $1.9 trillion that got injected into America, Whatcom County got their own piece of that to the extent of $44 million. Yeah, you heard me right. $44 million is going to be sitting in our bank account here for Whatcom County. And Executive Sidhu had an address on what maybe he thought he should be doing with it. Oh, Randy's coming in. Looks like I'm a little hot on the mic. For those of you that know me, I can be a little loud at times. I'm not loud enough. Oh, well, my wife's always told me to use my outside voice, not my inside voice. All right, back to the executive. So we're going to cover that today. There's also been no shooting zone ordinances being proposed all over Whatcom County, some relating to duck hunting, some being related to your Second Amendment rights to just be an owner with some property and be a target shooter on a weekend at home. And, you know, apparently there's a way that you can get a no shooting ordinance passed through the county council. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. If we have time, I've concocted a massive conspiracy theory on what's going on in the world right now, but I think we're going to kick things off today. Oh, yeah. Let's go from a fiscal responsibility standpoint right now, and let's kick it off right here. For everybody out there, we know and maybe haven't thought too much about it, but when you die, there's a process that takes place. Generally, the county coroner or a medical examiner or somebody will come and retrieve your remains and then take you to a special place where, you know, you're going to be held for burial or cremation or whatever's going on. And we have such a facility here in Whatcom County, as you might imagine, in the form of a county medical examiner. Something that a lot of folks don't also wrap their head around is what does that job pay? I mean, what does it pay to be a medical examiner? And understanding that if you're dying of natural causes, then yeah, you go to the morgue and then you go to a funeral home and then, you know, you go in the ground or whatever. But if it's questionable circumstances, or if the medical examiner has to, I guess, take custody custody of your remains and maybe do a autopsy or help the sheriff's department or a municipality with cause of death, things like that, you have somebody called a forensic pathologist, and we have one of those here. And he actually works in kind of a different model as far as how he's compensated, keeping in mind that the best comparison I can say is he's treated like a subcontractor and not a county employee. And a subcontractor in that every year he has a contract that him and the county council, mostly the executive, everybody goes over it and goes, yeah, that's good. And we're going to keep you on for another year, sir. Thanks for doing this and so forth. Again, what do you think that that rates in pay or compensation? And I'm going to tell you right now, because I don't have any faces looking at me looking for answers because I'm sitting in an empty room here. So I'm just going to keep it moving. $605,000 per year. That's 605,000 per year that Whatcom County taxpayers pay to have a medical examiner here as a subcontractor. Now, with that money, he has to cover his overhead. And, you know, he has a couple refrigeration units down there at his office, and he does what he has to do as far as a medical examiner goes. But, yeah, $605K. I mean, I tell you what, when they said you should have gone to medical school and become a doctor to fix people, I think you should get a medical doctorate and go and find out why they died, because that appears to pay much more money. Also, I will say, oh, okay, Randy, I got you, buddy. I will also say that our county medical examiner is planning on not renewing in 2022. And with that, we've got to take a look at, as the county, that there is a shortage of forensic pathologists on a national level. And I guess my question to be to the county council and to the executive, because ultimately it's the executive's responsibility to find and replace the medical examiner, is have they started this process yet? I mean, it's the middle of summer. It's June. The contract renews in January. And if we, I mean, everybody's got a help wanted sign in the window. And imagine a county where if somebody dies, we don't have a way to actually figure out cause of death. We don't have a way to, you know, do an investigation. There's nobody there locally that's on our staff that's going to be able to help out. So we're going to possibly find ourselves down the road in January of 2022 in a situation where we're going to be, you know, shrugging our shoulders, looking around going, okay, well, I mean, we've got this horrific thing that happened, and now we're missing a key part of solving the crime, the problem, or what have you. We're going to go ahead and take a break. I am Dan Johnson filling in for Patty Brooks today. If you want to call in, weigh in, 360-676-KGMI. That's 360-676-5464. And a good Saturday morning to you all. Dan Johnson, the Hook.News, filling in for Patty Brooks, who is a brand new grandmother, and she is in Enfamil and diaper phase right now. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about our Whatcom County medical examiner and how we're possibly going to be losing him come this January. He's not going to be renewing his contract. By the way, his contract as a subcontractor for $605,000 per year. Oh, that's a big chunk of change for Whatcom County taxpayers. But as a subcontractor, I guess maybe I should look at it too as that $605,000 per year has no oversight or, as far as I can tell, auditing potential, because, again, it's a sub. Now, if we were talking about, say, a department head or a county employee or a government employee, of course, you have audit capabilities because they are staff. But when you sub it out, you can't really go in there and say, hey, what are you spending on swabs? How much are the gowns? What's your refrigeration cost? Is there a way to do it better? Anything like that. It's just he negotiates a price, they cut him a check, he fulfills the need. And I think that moving forward, if he does not choose to renew, and it doesn't look like he's going to, I think that it would be a great time for Whatcom County, and I hope that the council and the executive are listening on a Saturday. I'm not holding my breath, but I do think it would be a great time to change the scope of services contract for the position of medical examiner to maybe a salary position. You know, not just cut a big chunk of money to somebody and then just, you know, hope the job gets done. But in fact, let's create a salary position that would be, of course, less than what we're currently paying. And the county, of course, would provide and help out with the necessary tools and equipment for running a morgue that a forensic pathologist, again, a salaried forensic pathologist, would require. Making this change when you're changing staffing is a great time to do it, but also it would allow for financial oversight into the program as well as added accountability of the job being performed. You can hold reviews. You can do all of those things. And a lot of you might think, well, okay, I mean, as a subcontractor, if we don't like what they're doing, do we renew their contract or not? Well, sure, but then as I'd mentioned earlier today, there is a national shortage on forensic pathologists, and so it's not like we can just go to the forensic pathologist store and choose from a store full of them and bring home the one we want. It's a hiring process, and it's a hiring process for what I would consider to be a very, very, very important job here in the county. And I would just hope that our council and our executive would take it seriously and not wait to the last second. I mean, imagine that we do get down to January and he's gone and says, I'm not going to renew and we don't have a replacement and then stuff is happening. I guess one option would be that we could probably contact him on, say, a case-by-case basis and say, hey, you know, we've got to take custody of a body here and we need to get some stuff looked at. There's a bunch of bullet holes. We need to find out where they came from, where they left, and so forth. But we find ourselves on a slippery slope if we go that route. We slippery in a fiscal standpoint, in a financial standpoint, because now you're going to be paying case-by-case instead of just an annual contract. And as we know, a la carte is always more expensive than if you just buy the whole meal. So that's something to consider moving down the road. As we move down the road, that's a great time for me to segue right here. Let's talk about our executive while we're working with the county council for a moment. Let's talk about our executive. Executive Sidhu, in his address to the Whatcom County and the council via Zoom at the county council meeting, said that Whatcom County has received the first of two installments of what is known as the American Rescue Plan Act. And again, that is what he later refers to as ARPA, or as we know it, the $1.9 trillion, with a T, folks, $1 trillion economic stimulus bill. We've received the, like I say, the first half, which is 22 million of the 44 million coming to Whatcom County. And in his address, he mentioned some stuff that he thinks it should be used for. I'm under the impression it's not like previous stimulus programs regarding the Rona, that we can actually take this and inject it into our community as we see fit. And gosh, what a great time to actually contact your county council district member, your two members at large, which would be Barry Buchanan and Carol Frazee, as well as contacting Executive Sidhu via email. You can speak out at a county council meeting on Zoom. It is super easy, by the way. You go to www.whatcomcounty.us, and then on the left-hand side, you follow the links to county council meetings agenda. You sign in, you watch it, you raise your electronic hand when you want to speak at a public comment. You got your 3 minutes. They run the clock. And you don't have to do a full 3 minutes. If you want to just say, hey, I think you guys are all wet and I don't like what you're proposing on blah, blah, blah. And then you can have your voice, you can get it out there, and you can be part of the process. Because I can tell you what, if you're not part of the process, that one, well, I digress, not 1.9, that 44 million that we're eventually going to see all of here in Whatcom County, if you don't voice your opinion now, they're going to go ahead and just think, you know, we're elected, we should probably do what we think is best to do with this money. And as the executive puts it, big buckets of money, right? As I think that we as a county of 229,000 people should have some input as to where they use it. Because left to their own devices, oh, let's see, I've got some notes in here. Yeah, let's go to page two. Yeah, let's see. Oh, yeah, here we go, page two. At one point in his address, Executive Sidhu talked about giving money to municipalities and nonprofits. Oh, that's sweet. Local municipalities and nonprofits. I can't tell you how many times I've read a success book about growth potential that exists in growing government and social programs relating to the nonprofit sector. Before you come at me with pitchforks and lanterns, I am a very philanthropical person. When I owned a small business, I made sure to not only donate money, but I also donated time and resources, which is kind of how I thought it was supposed to work, right? It does make me take pause when writing a check to a nonprofit when they are already being subsidized by government funding. And there is nothing called really government funding. It's taxpayer funding, which means it's our funding, which means we're giving them tax dollars, and then they're turning around and spending it where they see fit, which actually in this scenario feels like a forced donation to me. And, you know, I just, oh, well, okay. Let's see. Randy's chiming in here. Ah, we've got a break in 2 minutes. Okay, let's go back to the executive here for a second before we go to our break at the bottom of the hour. You know, again, $44 million, we as the citizens owe it to ourselves and we owe it to the county to weigh in. We need to weigh in at email, at Zoom meeting, on phone calls, whatever media you prefer, you should be weighing in. Because if you don't weigh in, then you really shouldn't be complaining about it tomorrow when you find out where it went. I'm Dan Johnson filling in for Patty Brooks, and you can follow me at thehook.news. We're going to go ahead and take another break and listen to some news. See you in a few. Now I'm falling from a skies. No sugar tonight in my coffee. No sugar tonight in my tea. No sugar to stand beside me. No sugar to run with me. It sounds like we're being led right back in. Second half of the show, bottom half of the hour. Dan Johnson, the Hook.News, filling in for Grandma Patty Brooks. All right. First half of the show, we covered the medical examiner and his wage. We've also covered the $44 million stimulus package that has been inserted into the Whatcom County economy and where that's going to go. And kicking off the next part of the show here, we're going to start talking about the Second Amendment, property rights, guns, all that stuff. So it's no secret that those that know me know that I'm a big supporter of the right to bear arms, also known as the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. For those unfamiliar, let's break down the Second Amendment. The first thing it says here is a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. All right, breaking that down, let's take a closer look. A well-regulated militia, that is, by the way, we the people, being necessary to the security of a free state. Okay, we the people are responsible for our freedom. That's on us. And if necessary, we the people will defend it at all costs. It's that simple. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Also a pretty simple statement and should not need an explanation, or so one might think. The item on the docket right now is shooting or target practicing on your private property. You know, a lot of people will move out to the county and we get a nice piece of dirt, set up a nice backstop. We like to target practice and we simply like to shoot. And right now it's on the horizon as being something that people are trying to take away from us out in the county. A friend of mine received a letter in the mail from a concerned citizen out in the county. He's out in the county. And this letter went out to a bunch of people in a big block out in the county. The purpose of the letter is to get enough people to sign a petition and create a no shooting zone. This particular letter said the zone would start on Kelly west of the Yellow Brick Road, Kelly east to Hannigan, north to Smith, and west on Smith, approximately 1 mile. The letter states a few reasons for wanting this no shooting zone, one of them being disturbing the peace. In this letter, it says many of us enjoy being outdoors, wandering the woods, gardening, picnicking, and playing with children. Oh, tra-la, that sounds oh so utopian and joyous. Ah, shooting is not only loud and obnoxious, but it can also be scary, especially to children and pets. Well, okay, let me tell you. The neighbors to the south and southwest of me where I live are constantly being visited by law enforcement. Convicted criminals very well may live there. On occasion, I hear gunfire from those properties, and yes, that is a little disturbing, but I'm not going to petition for a no shooting zone because of it. And yes, ironically, as this may sound, I have a dog who absolutely hates gunfire. You know what I do if the neighbors are shooting? I take them inside and I turn up the TV for some white noise. But what I don't do is I don't send letters to my neighbors petitioning for a no shooting zone. All right, real quick, it looks like we've got somebody. Let's see, we've got Tom on line one. Tom wants to weigh in. Thanks for calling in today, Tom. You are on the hook.
Okay, this is the deal. The left would like nothing better than to relieve us of our Second Amendment rights. And if they can't get the guns in this pandemic situation we've got, the ammunition suppliers, people that fabricate ammunitions, they're slowed up and almost to a stop. I go to my my gun shop here, and I don't have ammunition to buy because it's not there, because it's not being made.
Yeah, you can't make your boomstick go boom without bullets, right, Tom?
Shooter no good without brasses, yes.
Yes.
Anyway, so there I was, and I'm thinking, you know, they're going to manage to try to leverage COVID, the pandemic, into the continued absence of ammunition. People are going to shoot it up, what they have, and then that's about the equivalent of taking our guns away. Well, you can go buy a gun, but you can't buy any ammunition. So,
right.
Anyway, mark my words, we're going to the last industries to come back online are going to be ammunition suppliers, and I think that's going to happen, and I think we're going to have to fight tooth and nail to get our rights to ammunition for our weapons. And I kind of sympathize with, you know, governance as a whole, because that's our means to bring them to their early demise.
To stop a tyrannical government, of course, that is why we have the right to bear arms, as I just outlined a few minutes ago, that our freedom is only as good as we the people can make it. So just out of curiosity, Tom, what are your thoughts on the actual no shooting zones that people are trying to create in Whatcom County? The citizens that move out into the county and they don't like the sound of gunfire, so they petition neighbors to try to get, you know, a zone made into a no shooting zone. Do you like to shoot on your property, or do you like to go to a range?
Well, I'm within the city limits, so I'm
yeah, no
I'm
shooting for you, Tom.
Hamstrung. And the reason that I listen to KGMI,
yeah,
is what happens in Whatcom County takes about, and these times are being more compressed all the time. Whatever happens in Whatcom County winds up showing up here in Clallam County in about 2 years, anywhere between 2 years and 7 months. You know, so.
Okay.
And then I take that information and I distribute it here. So,
you're anyway. In Clallam County. That's Southern Washington, is it not?
No, that's no. That's south. That's southwest of you on the southwest of you on the Straits of Juan de Fuca.
Okay, perfect. Well, thanks for, I'm assuming you're streaming in over an electronic device, and thanks for listening to us on KGMI on a Saturday. Thanks for weighing in, Tom.
Nope.
You know, to go back into the Second Amendment right, it is interesting how, as Tom was pointing out, the different approaches for stopping the weaponized citizenry that is the United States. I mean, I remember probably 12, 14 years ago, it wasn't ammo itself as much as it was the people that were reloading, and there was a shortage on blasting caps. So basically you've got the brass, the blasting caps, the gunpowder, the round. And so none of it works without this little probably, I don't know, eighth of a size and diameter of a penny, but it's a little blasting cap, and it's what makes the gunpowder ignite and what sends the projectile downrange. But there's just been so many different things where people are trying to take those they keep going after it in so many different angles. Although what I do remember reading here in the last couple of days is I believe a federal court of appeals has, if I'm not mistaken, overturned the assault weapons ban in California, which is the oldest assault weapons ban in the country at something like 33 or 35 years. So in my opinion, I feel like that's a step in the right direction, although, and we still can't get a straight answer from the ATF on what the definition of an assault weapon is. An assault rifle, because they think that AR stands for assault rifle, and in fact it does not. It stands for Armalite rifle, and that is that. I am Dan Johnson filling in for Patty Brooks. We are 360-676-KGMI, 360-676-5464. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back to Jerry after the break and see what he wants to weigh in with. Dan Johnson on a Super Saturday filling in for Patty Brooks. And again, I am Dan Johnson. You can follow me at thehook.news. We are taking your phone calls, 360-676-KGMI, 360-676-5464. We've been talking about a lot of different things today, but the one that's getting the most action is the Second Amendment, of course. And I was talking about a letter, and we're going to go back to the letter real quick, and then we're going to take our callers that we have on hold here. In a paragraph in the letter illustrating what is scary to this person, she makes reference to the sounds of automatic weapons and how that is even more disturbing to her. And, you know, to be honest, I will agree with her on that. In a residential farmland setting, the sound of automatic gunfire would raise my spidey senses a little bit as well. Not because I don't like it. A Marine by trade, I love the sound of an automatic weapon. But I don't like it because there are very, very, very few people legally allowed in the civilian world to have automatic weapons. So, yes, all of those folks listening, if you are at home and you hear automatic gunfire, you may want to let law enforcement know so that they can have a head up. In my opinion, that may be worth investigating further. And we're going to go to the phone lines. We've got Jerry on line one. Jerry, you are live on the hook.
Hi, I'm all in favor of the Second Amendment. I am a conservative from Sumas. My question to you is, and in this area, and you had mentioned that you kind of referred to it an agricultural area, it's kind of dangerous to have people shooting guns because animals can get hurt, can get killed. But we're also within a mile from the border, and I understand there is some kind of an ordinance somewhere that if you live within a certain distance from the border, within a mile or I don't know how many feet, that there is a restriction on the use of firearms in the wild.
Is that a federal restriction or is that a county code?
I don't think it's a county code. I think it might even be a state. It might be federal. I don't know, but someone needs to investigate that because we heard alluded to it when we were in eastern Washington. They said there is something to do with a restriction within a certain distance from the border. And we're within a mile of the border up here in Sumas. I'm all in
That's
favor
interesting.
Of people protecting themselves. Nothing wrong with that at all. But there are a lot of people that come up here and they just willy-nilly shoot without even thinking about asking people whether they can shoot or anything. They just come onto your property. I have a no-hunting sign on my property, but still come in there. They'll come in on other areas. They'll just say, oh, I can't go through the front door, go through the back door, and shoot back here. But I'm all right, in favor of people protecting themselves. Nothing wrong with that. But
absolutely, Jerry, and I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, the fact that, and thanks for calling in, Jerry,
sure.
And the fact that you're bringing up a very valid point on responsible gun ownership and responsible shooting is, again, something that I was going to hopefully get to here, is that the people that are out there shooting, the responsible gun owners in general, but we do have a responsibility to responsibly target practice, to make your weapon safe when you're not shooting, to practice all of the rules that we know are the firearm safety rules. And I think that it is very crucial that to maintain our freedoms of being able to shoot on our own properties, that we're using a good backstop. We know what's behind it. We know that it's thick enough to stop the caliber of the round. The Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife has an excellent website, and it references, if you are target practicing, and the Whatcom County Code also utilizes that as their source. But it's very good to read if you haven't read it. Right now, we're going to go to line four. We've got John. John, thanks for calling in. You are on the hook.
Got me with my mouth full here.
Sorry, John.
Sorry. I'm going to prove right now that does say that we have the right to bear, and we can also bear military-style rifles. Our forefathers, when they wrote that, used a muzzleloader, which is my favorite gun. I love muzzleloaders. I got a wall full of them. But anyhow, that was a military weapon, and civilians carried it. Then the repeating rifle came out. Well, General Custer got his butt kicked because he was shooting a rifle that shot one shot at a time while the Native Americans were using repeating rifles. So the civilians had repeating rifles, which are better than a single-shot trapdoor, okay? And our forefathers never took it away. They never said, no, 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 you can't have that. That's a no-no. They never did. People carried guns all over the place. Repeating rifles, and that was at the time the modern weapon. They never stopped it.
Fair enough, and you know, I'd be nervous with people that I know that are Second Amendment gun owners, and we've all got our 10%. But I mean, I don't know that I want to put a Cruiser 50 cal in the hands of some people that I know, because I don't think they're gonna. That's too much. That's like giving a 16-year-old a Hellcat with 800 horsepower, you know? I mean, there's lines and limitations. But I do understand what you're saying, and that's a very frail argument right there. I mean, yeah, it's modernized weaponry, but yet should the military have bigger, better, and more than we do, and we're not allowed to have it? I mean, I don't know that I have a good answer. I know that I agree with you to a limit, right? Because I just am I am concerned that some people shouldn't have automatic weapons. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. No, I wasn't saying we should be allowed to have nuclear bombs. I'm just making a point. I mean, I have a 50 caliber air gun. I shoot 50 caliber rifles, black powder. But no, I mean, there is a limit. Yes. We do not need fully. What do we need a fully automatic weapon for?
We don't. Hey, real quick, I wanted to. So, John, are you local to the county?
Yeah, I live within a mile of the Canadian border, or maybe a mile from the Canadian border, up on 8th Street Road.
So one of the no shooting zones that the county council just passed is up there in that that northwest corner of the county is that Blaine and Drayton Harbor area. And it's the harbor just south of Blaine. But apparently there's been a lot of people moving in there, and they just created a no shooting zone based on citizenry complaints, because basically it's over the duck hunting. And as we know, a shotgun, the BBs aren't going to go too darn far, but I guess it's the sound of gunfire and the duck hunting that takes place a couple months out of the year that drove these folks to just wanting to make a no shooting zone. So, I mean, here you come in after the fact, you've got a couple tribes that under treaty are allowed to hunt as part of their heritage. And then you've got the sportsmen's out there, and duck is something that you eat. So, I mean, you could have the argument of hunting for food. What do you think about the no shooting zones in hunting areas?
I think people need to get over it. You know, I mean, they hunt how many times out of the year? How many days out of the year does the guy go out and go bang, bang, and shoot a couple of ducks?
Yeah, and exactly. And that's my point, too. Thanks for calling in, John. I do appreciate your input. That's it's always good to get callers coming in. I will say that one of the reasons why I'm such a strong believer, one of many reasons, of the Second Amendment is, you know, I like to shoot for a number of reasons. I do. I like to keep sharp. I like to keep my skills honed, not only because I'm a U.S. citizen, but because I'm a U.S. Marine. I did serve. I did my time, and I enjoyed it. Wouldn't trade it for gold. But as a Marine, I have an obligation also to, in my opinion, for the rest of my life, to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And in order for me to do that, I must keep certain skills sharp. One of those skills is being proficient with a firearm. But in order to do this, I must do it safely. And this is the thing that, you know, before we went into the callers, I wanted to talk about doing it safely. And when I do shoot at home, I have a backstop. Again, it's 4 feet higher than the recommendation. I know what's behind it, what's around it. I know that the caliber of round that I'm shooting is going to not penetrate through that backstop. And I'm doing it safely and responsibly. And again, there's two sides to this no shooting argument. Sure. You know, on one side of it, there's the, hey, we just don't like the sound of gunfire and we just want to stop. But then on the other side of it, the people that are doing it, I don't want to see you just spraying and praying and you're putting holes into people's RVs or otherwise, you know, a couple miles away. So, we had somebody and then she's gone. Boy, Cindy, I was going to get right to you if you want to call back. We do have a couple minutes left. So anyway, the shooting. And we have an obligation as firearms owners to shoot safely, to teach our children to shoot safely, and to make sure that we are not doing something that is worthy of getting those rights taken away from us, right? To create a no shooting zone in Whatcom County, just so you don't think that anybody can just rally together and, you know, get one made, right? You have to articulate that public safety, health, and welfare are in jeopardy, but it also calls for a list of shooting violations in the area, and it requires a letter of the reasons why a no-shooting zone should be formed. So you can't just all get together and, you know, say, hey, we don't want to hear gunfire anymore. You have to actually go, and it's on the county's website to do this. But again, like I'm saying, if you're being a responsible gun owner and you're not shooting in the dark, so you got to wait half hour after sunrise and stop a half hour before sunset, according to county code, you know, we have a responsibility and a duty to handle our firearms in a safe manner and to shoot in a safe manner. We don't have to be out there night shooting. There are a couple ranges that exist in Whatcom County that can facilitate that need if you feel like you got to go after it like you're John Rambo. Again, an 8-foot tall berm that a round can't go through. And, you know the calibers and know your audience. Know that your weapons are on safe when you're done shooting. And be responsible and safe. An empty pile of brass is a pretty sight, but it can turn ugly real fast if a pile of empty aluminum cans is next to it. So a lot of people want to go out there and, you know, have a couple Crazy Larrys and do some shooting out there at the pit. And, you know, I don't condone that either. I don't really approve of, you know, alcohol and firearms going together, even though they're managed by the same agency. You know, I don't like to see those things go hand in hand. We are getting into the last couple minutes here. I will say that it has been a pleasure being on air today, filling in for Patty Brooks, the new grandmother. And again, I am Dan Johnson. And if you liked anything that I had to talk about today, feel free to look me up at thehook.news. I have a video cast as well as a podcast. And we are getting close. We have talked about $1.9 trillion being shoved into Whatcom County in the form of $44 million and what Executive Sat Paul Sadu is going to do with that. We need to make sure that you are getting out there and talking to your council members, to the county executive, getting on board with them, not only to talk about where to spend that $44 million to make sure that it isn't used to grow government, but we also need to make sure that, maybe we fill a chuck hole. Maybe we trim some branches. Maybe we widen a lane here and there. Maybe we fix a bridge or two. But I think that injecting that money into more of the same, which is social programs and growing government and things like that, I just think that that's a more, I just don't like it, because the bigger government gets, the more your taxes are. And as it is, our taxes are high enough to, again, pay for a medical examiner that makes $605,000 a year. But again, he might not renew this year. And if that's the case, then it's also a great opportunity to get in charge and get on contact with your county council and your county executive and let them know your thoughts. That is the music I was waiting for. I am Dan Johnson, The Hook.News, and thanks for joining me. You are Off the Hook.